Welcome to this week's episode of Radio Free Professional Wrestling. I'm your host, Sean, along with my amazing, talented co-host, Ashley. We're coming off of NXT Deadline, which probably could be one of the best WWE premium live events of the year, in my opinion. And we'll let Ashley make the decision if I'm crazy or not. We'll get to that. But first, Ashley, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. And what a way to close off 2023 in professional wrestling with the last WWE premium live event done by NXT. If you haven't watched the show yet, there's four good matches, and the fifth match was just a notch below good. I still think the ladies did well in the cage match. It's well worth a watch. I'll go ahead and spoil that for you.
No, it seems like a perfect length. Like you said, like, one kind of like iffy match on the card isn't anything to worry about. There's still developmental, so sounds like it was a home run.
Let's go over to the Control Center to catch you up on the week in wrestling news.
This is your Radio Free Pro Wrestling Control Center. All the wrestling news you need to know.
And Ashley, our first story has a little bit to do with NXT and the premium live event, NXT Deadline, as it was scheduled to be Wes Lee versus Dirty Dom for the North American title. But this past week on NXT, we found out from Wes Lee that he is going to be on the shelf for 8 to 12 months as he's going to have had back surgery. And the scary thought was he told us that he was not having feeling in his legs. And you could visibly see the dude shaking in the ring as he's making this announcement to the NXT fans there in Orlando. We just want to wish the best to Wes Lee and hope for his speedy recovery.
Absolutely. This is just a scary injury. It always is with the back because it can affect just everything you do. And, you know, we want quality of life, like a great quality of life for these guys after they leave the ring. So I hope him and wish all the best for him in his surgery and in his recovery.
True. So they replaced Wes Lee with Dragon Lee, who has been on SmackDown for the last month or so, wrestling in Santos Escobar. And we'll go ahead right into NXT Deadline results here. We have a new NXT North American champion as Dragon Lee probably scores his biggest win in the last 6 months as he defeats Dirty Dom Mysterio for the North American title to kick off NXT Deadline.
I think it's a great call. Dragon Lee is great.
Now, we had the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge match. That was won by one Blair Davenport, which is probably a shock to a lot of people, but I was the one who was going, hey, it should be Blair Davenport to win this. The coolest thing about this match was they told a lot of stories inside of it. They made Last Legend look like a freaking proficient professional wrestler and a powerhouse all at the same time. This was Last Legend's best performance in NXT right now. They showcased this lady to be a major player coming up in 2024 for WWE. Now, the favorite going into this match was Tiffany Stratton, and they told a story that Tiffany couldn't get a pin until very late in the Iron Survivor Challenge. She literally got a pin around the 20-minute mark. The match lasts 25 minutes. And the end of this match comes with Blair Davenport getting that third pinfall to get one above Lash Legend, and Lash Legend is running around the ring trying to get Blair Davenport for a pin, and time runs out. We got one Iron Survivor winner, Blair Davenport. We go on to the next match.
It's nice to see Davenport get a little bit more of a push after being there for a while, too.
True, Ashley. I mean, like, I feel like with Lyra Valkyria being your champion, it was honestly pre-written that this should have been Blair Davenport's victory. I feel like this is a feud they wanted to visit in NXT UK, and the fact that Lyra Valkyria had an injury and she was off TV for NXT UK for a good period of time there. I feel like they want to do this, and I'm looking forward to New Year's Evil. We're going to get this women's title match January the 2nd, so mark your calendar. Okay, let me back up to the pre-show. We had a pre-show match. It was Axiom versus Nathan Fraser. A fine kickoff show for the crowd. It got me at home pretty excited too, because we may be seeing Nathan Fraser going a little bit more heel than normal. This was a match that was supposed to be on NXT on Tuesday night. It got interrupted by all the women from the Iron Survivor Challenge match, interrupting their match. So we head on to pre-show, asking one clean with his golden ratio kick. So good opening match for the kickoff show. It was kind of surprising we had a match for the kickoff show. Okay, so after the Women's Iron Survivor Series match, we had Carmelo Hayes versus the former Brian Pillman Jr., now known as Lexus King in NXT. And this was probably the sleeper match of the night. And Carmelo Hayes, in one match, has made Brian Pillman Jr. / Lexus King a main event player in NXT. I'm going to mark my words here. I'm going to say AEW is going to regret the fact that they let this guy's contract run out, because inside of 5 months, NXT has done 100 times better with Brian Pillman Jr.
Yeah, they do seem to be featuring him quite heavily, so I do expect him to see him possibly capture some gold in the coming month.
And, you know, I was thinking maybe Carmelo Hayes would lose this match and kind of come back in the main event and cost Trick Williams his chance at the Iron Survivor Challenge match. But nope, we get a clean victory here for Carmelo Hayes, but Brian Pillman Jr. looks strong in defeat, and I can't wait to see what 2024 has in store for Alexis King. Okay, so we're up to the Men's Iron Survivor Challenge match, and I gotta say, this match, I want to say, is a little bit underneath the women's, but it tells a different story. We get the ending in the women's match where you have one person trying to chase around one person to get that last fall for the decisive victory. The men's match, so Trick comes out at 15 minutes. He doesn't get his first pinfall until 20 minutes into the match. Actually, 23 minutes into the match. And he comes from behind and beats Bron Breakker. Bron Breakker gets 3 pinfalls in this match in 30 seconds. It's like spear, pin, repeat. And I'm thinking like, okay, this is Bron Breakker's match to win. But they told a good story because they had me believe that Trick Williams was going to get done dirty. And here comes Trick. In the last 3 minutes, gets 4 pinfalls. Trick Williams is your Iron Survivor Series challenge for the men. And he has a date with the NXT champion, who could be one Baron Corbin, or it could be Ilya Dragunov. And I'll go ahead and spoil this one for you. The Tsar of NXT retains his title as he beats Baron Corbin, cleans the whistle. It was a good match. They gave Baron Corbin a lot of chances to look good in this match with Dragunov. There's a couple of spots in there where I thought maybe they were going to split that title over to Baron Corbin, but I am happy that Ilya Dragunov is still your NXT Men's Champion. And the last match we need to talk about is the steel cage match between Roxanne Perez and Kiana James. Kiana James wins this match with a little help from Izzy, her personal assistant, as she comes out towards the end of the match, gets the cage door open, slides in a steel chair. Kiana James hits Roxanne Perez with a steel chair, then her kind of like knockout finisher, and we get Roxanne Perez losing maybe her last match in NXT, because I don't know what else you do with Roxanne Perez in NXT. She's ready for the main roster.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'd be nice to see her get bumped up and move on and kind of get some new blood on the rosters here and mix a couple of things up. So, like you said, she's kind of accomplished what I think she can there, you know, like outside of being the champion again. I don't know what else the NXT holds for her. So bump her up and have her start a path on like on Raw or something, kind of beef up the women's division overall.
Yes, Raw could use a Roxanne Perez dearly. But personally, I would rather see her on SmackDown, because SmackDown is the women's division for the main roster that's really amazing. And adding her into like possibly feuding with Bayley, Asuka, Kairi Sane, Charlotte Flair, I just feel like SmackDown would be the better place for Roxanne Perez. But either way, bring this lady up to the main roster. Let's see what she can do. And that has been your NXT Deadline review here on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. We're going over to Impact's final pay-per-view. It's Final Resolution. And the biggest story coming out of Final Resolution is when Trent Seven has signed with TNA Wrestling. British Strong Style is coming to TNA Wrestling. And I can't freaking wait.
Yeah, nice to see him land somewhere. You know, we saw him kind of pop into AEW and Ring of Honor after he got released from WWE. This is exactly why it's as good as it is to have as many companies as you can. It's more options for everybody.
Very true. Now, at Final Resolution, Trent Seven teamed up with Mike Bailey, and they took on the Rascals. And that was one hell of a match. And another match you should go back and look at is Motor City Machine Guns versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Josh Alexander. Did I need to say more? I mean, like, dude, they just threw this match together. Another thing coming out of Impact Wrestling is David Penser, their longtime ring announcer, has finished with the company, and he's departing Impact Wrestling / TNA. Scott D'Amore brought him out to the ring, gave him an award for his time there in Impact Wrestling. Now, David Penser on his X / Twitter account said in the coming days he's going to have a statement about his future. He says he's not retired. We're just going to wish David Penser the best at whatever he does next, because I've been listening to this guy re-announce since WCW, and this guy is freaking amazing.
Oh, yeah. He'll definitely find work somewhere.
Okay, so our final news story comes out of New Japan Pro Wrestling, as Sports Illustrated is reporting that Okada is a free agent towards the end of January, and there's rumors that the 36-year-old Okada is heavily looking at different promotions besides New Japan Pro Wrestling as his home for the future. Now, we're going to cover this in the 76 questions, but Ashley, could you see one Okada in the WWE?
I have no doubt they're going to make an extreme play for him. I would honestly be shocked if he left New Japan. Even, you know, he can, you know, have the options and stuff like that. That's always great. But I would genuinely be shocked to see him leave New Japan.
You know what they say about wrestling? Never say never, but I'm with you kind of. I feel like if we talk about pillars at AEW, Okada's like the foundation and the pillars fit together.
Yeah. And I mean, it's even just beyond that. It's like his wife is, you know, very famous in Japan. I know he has like I think they just had a baby not too long ago. So it'd be crazy to see him like uproot everything to come here. But I mean, if they make the right offer and can give him the right schedule and everything like that, I don't see why he wouldn't take it.
Well, we'll go over to the 76 questions to debate this a little bit more. So that has been your Control Center for December the 11th, 2023, here on Radio Free Professional Wrestling. Ashley, we're going over to the 76 questions.
Time to ring the bell as Sean and Ashley debate six stunning questions from the week of wrestling. All the whys and what the hell was that?
And my first stunning question, coming off of the last news story about Okada, do you think it'd be a smart move for one Okada to come to the WWE to finish out his career here in the United States? Now, I would argue it might be a good move for the 36-year-old Kazuchika Okada, who has spent his entire career over in New Japan Pro Wrestling. That is a very intense, impact heavy wrestling style that takes a toll on your body. You know, maybe a lighter schedule in the WWE and a lighter style of professional wrestling may be appealing for one Kazuchika Okada.
Yeah, I mean, he could certainly, like, kind of look at, like, Shinsuke Nakamura, and, you know, like, he has connections there, he has people he's familiar with there, and I could see him definitely being tempted, as long as, I said, like, they could offer him a schedule he's okay with and the right amount of money. Like you said, never say never.
Isn't this crazy to think that we're moving into 2024, and we could be living in a world where we have Kazuchika Okada and WWE. At the same time, you have Will Ospreay and AEW.
Yeah, that'd be two huge blows for New Japan, especially with, like, you know, like somebody like Hiroshi Tanahashi on his way out and stuff like that. You're kind of losing, like, some of your, like you said, like your foundations and your pillars and stuff for New Japan.
Well, it would be a very large blow to New Japan Pro Wrestling to have Okada leave the company and be with an organization that may not let him come back to do matches. Now, with Ospreay being in AEW, that door is still open to go back to New Japan for us every so often to have matches. So they still have Ospreay, maybe not as much as they used to, but he can still come over. I doubt the WWE will let Okada come back over. But hey, this is a new WWE underneath the TKO banner. They might let him do it too.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of don't really know what the landscape is going to look like with this new regime over there. So,
well, we'll just wait and see how 2024 plays out. But wherever Kazuchika Okada goes, me and Ashley will be right behind watching it. Okay, so stunning question number two is coming off of AEW TV Dynamite this past week. We had a match. We were promised a match that didn't happen. And I'm talking about MJF Samoa Joe versus two mass assailants of the devil. Actually, did AEW make the right call not having this match?
I think so, but I think also pulling the bait and switch was also kind of a bad idea. I don't know, the storyline has gotten kind of weird with all the injuries and the taking away of the ability of like MJF to have matches on a weekly basis because he is legitimately hurt right now, along with Adam Cole being out. It's tough to kind of salvage. They probably should have pivoted away once Adam Cole got hurt.
You know, I feel like if they could go back in time like a month, they may hit that eject button on this idea for whoever the devil is and go like, okay, MJF's injured, Adam Cole's injured. We'll just play the story out in the spring of 2024. We won't do it right now. But I feel like they got themselves pinned into a corner and they decided, you know what? It doesn't make sense for two people who don't work for this organization to come in to wrestle, oh, hey, our world champion. Like, wait a minute. That doesn't make sense. That does it.
I think a lot of the decisions they've kind of made around this haven't made sense. I mean, you still have the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships on two men who are injured and haven't been in Ring of Honor since they won the titles in the summertime. So Ring of Honor Tag Teams are essentially fighting for nothing right now. And on top of it, the World Championship, you could have easily just moved that onto Jay White. Even if it was just for a couple of months, if you had to, while MJF recovered, it could have given MJF like a comeback story for like his return and given him his time to heal up. I don't think you would have missed anything with the star power. I think Jay White is great. So I would have loved to see what he could have done with the title. And, you know, it sucks that MJF got hurt right now, but if we need to pivot, AEW needs to do a better job of it.
I think they can still save this angle as long as the reveal of the devil is done right, and whoever this devil is somebody that we would care about.
True. I think that it is salvageable. And like you said, this kind of just has to be a great reveal, I think.
And honestly, my point where I'm kind of concerned is AEW is not firing all cylinders right now. If this is like 2022 going into 2023, I wouldn't question it. I'd be like, yeah, Tony's got this down pat. He has a plan. Right now, I don't feel like he has a plan.
Yeah, I feel like all the injuries and all of the stuff that they've been trying to like work around has like extended the storyline in ways they weren't expecting and changed like the roles of people in ways they weren't expecting. So I'm hoping they can kind of, like you said, salvage it with a good reveal. I'm assuming that'll be at World's End.
That's where my money is for this devil reveal. I do believe it's going to be on AEW's last pay-per-view of 2023. And we may need to fork over $50 to find out who it is.
He's going to have Bryan Danielson on, although, and I'm going to have to fork over $50 anyway.
Okay, so stunning question number three. Correct me if I was wrong. I feel like on SmackDown going into last Friday, the WWE kind of announced that AJ Styles was going to be on that SmackDown. Then I watched it and I had no AJ Styles on my TV. Where's AJ Styles?
No idea. MIA, I guess.
Okay, so the last time we saw AJ Styles on WWE TV was back in September. He had a match with Finn Balor. That has been his last match with the WWE for over 2.5 months, almost three now. And I feel like with the arrival of CM Punk, it kind of got pushed back again. And there's rumors going around that AJ is kind of upset that he didn't go ahead and come over to AEW when he had a chance back in 2019 when the company was first started up. But at that point, Ashley, he was doing really well in WWE, and I can see why he wanted to stay there because that was better security and he had a good position. I wouldn't want to jump over to a new promotion not knowing exactly if it was going to last or not.
Yeah, absolutely. AJ Styles was top of the card, multi-time champion. So I understand him not wanting to come over, like you said, to like risk it in that sort of way. It does suck to not have him around right now. I know an age thing always kind of becomes a thing, but AJ Styles is still phenomenal. You have all these like factions and stuff. I'm not sure why you're not having the club do something.
I know, it's just crazy how that all disappeared once they decided to have the Bloodline and Judgment Day kind of interact for a while. Then that kind of got dropped for, oh, hey, Team Cody.
I mean, that would have been, you could have had Cody versus AJ Styles, and that would have been phenomenal. That would have been great.
Well, now I feel like, hey, just save AJ Styles to the Royal Rumble, have him return in the Royal Rumble. He doesn't have to win it. And if you're lucky enough to get Okada to sign with the WWE, you debut Okada like you did Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, AJ Styles versus Okada at WrestleMania.
I don't know. Just get AJ Styles back on. There's no reason to not have this man on television doing something.
Oh, I mean, like, okay, look, AJ Styles versus Austin Fury. Austin Fury would benefit a lot to wrestle AJ Styles on TV.
Absolutely.
Austin Fury, this guy that you were going to be, quote unquote, one of your top heels, who's kind of now in the mid-card, kind of forgot about because of the shiny new things like Grayson Waller. And I thought this Grayson Waller, Austin Fury tag team was going to be seven. Like, there's a tag team that you put the titles on. And hey, AJ can find a partner. They get viewed for these titles.
Yeah. Like I said, just no reason to not have him on TV. He could be doing so much to help these younger guys out. And just doing a lot in the faction warfare that WWE kind of has going on. So get him back on TV. Hopefully, like you said, the Royal Rumble will be it.
Exactly. And we kind of want to do my idea. I'll be fine with it. Okada versus AJ Styles. Book it for WrestleMania. We'll revisit that after WrestleMania. You can tell me I'm wrong, okay? Okay, so we're on to stunning question number four. As we're talking about possible returns and debuts and stuff in 2024, where do we think Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné, will wrestle in 2024? Do we think she's going to go to AEW, or are we going to see the return of Sasha Banks to the WWE?
I think she may end up back in WWE.
See, Ashley, I would agree with you. I feel like with the new kind of corporate structure of the WWE and the fact that Triple H is in charge of creative in WWE. And if you remember, Sasha Banks' best run in NXT was under the guidance of one Triple H.
Like, she has her best friends there. I don't think she wanted to leave, obviously, the way she did and how things ended when she left and everything. I'm sure she would much rather leave on a better note than that. I know AEW and Tony Khan have sort of made like hints that they would love to have her and stuff like that, but I just personally don't think AEW does enough to make it enticing for a female to sign with AEW.
Well, actually, if any female wrestler watches Dynamite or Collision, they just need to watch one episode and see, no, thank you, Tony. We're good. We'll just stay on the independent.
Yeah, I feel like they've kind of they've sort of missed the boat with signing some of the women that have come through, and some of the women I certainly understand. Like I said, you're only given one shot per show, and you kind of just gotta hope it's you. And you know, I mean, if she felt like she could be a hand in changing that, I could see her maybe thinking about it. But it's a long shot. I definitely see her going back to WWE before signing with AEW.
Ashley, I have a better shot of getting Okada versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania than Mercedes Moné shot on a random Dynamite. Oh, no comment. Okay. So we're going over to stunning question number five as we continue our series of possible debuts. Now, if you watched Impact Final Resolution, Deonna Purrazzo lost her tag team match after the match Gisele saw her on Deonna Purrazzo, laying her out, kind of writing her off of Impact TV. There's rumors that she's heading back to the Performance Center and maybe back to the WWE. Do you think this time around they might be able to use Deonna Purrazzo right?
I feel like they probably have a better shot now. You know, they have their moments with the women's division, but it seems like they're heavily invested in it. So I could see them be so talented. Like, you just got to book her properly.
I got a feeling they may bring her back to NXT for a short stint, and it needs to be a short stint. Just so she can wrestle maybe like a Tiffany Stratton or somebody along that line. But Deonna Purrazzo needs to be on Monday Night Raw, drifting that women's division. As we were talking about Roxanne Perez earlier in the show, needed to be on one of the shows to strip in the women's division. I feel like NXT right now may be the strongest women's division in professional wrestling.
Yeah, they certainly seem to be killing it over there, and they're constantly featuring them, which is giving them all the experience they can use, you know?
True. And I feel like with Triple H in charge and the fact that it's now TKO having this umbrella over the WWE, there may be more opportunities for a wrestler like Deonna Purrazzo that wasn't there the first time she was in NXT in the WWE machine.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think she, like I said, she's so talented and she's so good. You just got to put her in a proper program. I'd love to see her go, like, with Charlotte Flair. I'd love to see her go with like Bianca Belair. Put her in there and like you said, maybe give her a quick run in NXT, maybe, you know, nothing too long, maybe just a few months just to get acclimated again to the style. and then bump her up as soon as he can.
True. Very true. Wherever Yana Peraza goes, of course, me and Ashley will be following her watching her matches because she's one of the best professional wrestlers on the planet. Ashley, sixth and final stunning question. We've been raving about the AEW Continental Title Tournament. It has been banger after banger of a match. But Ashley, I feel like AEW has done one person very, very dirty. And I'm talking about Mark Briscoe. If you haven't known, he has 0 points in 3 matches. And after this last episode of AEW Dynamite, he's eliminated from the tournament.
Yeah, not the outcome we were hoping for Mark Briscoe, especially kind of like considering the time frame. I'm not exactly sure. He should absolutely be in title contention right now, especially something like the Ring of Honor World title. You essentially took him out of the TV title hunt before his injury, well, during his injury. So now he's out of that contention because he's not in Ring of Honor, you know, facing anybody in Ring of Honor. The title is vacant right now as it is. Do you have him go back and take that as a, like a consolation prize? It seems like such a step down from what he should be doing.
Actually, I just feel like they have missed the ball with Mark Briscoe from the start. Now, flashback to the beginning of this year, tragically, he lost his brother, one half of the best tag teams in ROH/AEW. And out of that dark period, all the fans rallied to Mark Briscoe. There wasn't a fan who wasn't cheering for Mark Briscoe. And they had opportunity after opportunity to push this guy to the main event on AEW proper in this tournament. And yet another chance to get Mark Briscoe towards that world title. But 0 points in 3 matches. One thing about this tournament kind of surprises me. There hasn't been one tie, and there hasn't been one match where 0 points have been awarded. They have all been clean finishes for the most part. I mean, like, I can't think of a dirty finish in any of these matches.
Yeah, no. I mean, just some cheating, but outside of that, we've had all pinfall or submission finishes, no draws, no nothing yet. I think we may get one somewhere. I think Mox and Strickland could maybe go the distance.
I just feel like they got the blue side of this bracket thing kind of messed up from the start. The gold side is a lot closer. You have a lot more options of who could possibly come out of the gold side, but the blue side has been like heavy-handed. Like, here's your two people. It's John Moxley, Strickland, and sorry about everybody else on that side of the bracket.
Yeah, and it's tough because it'd be weird to see Mox win the Triple Crown, especially having the Ring of Honor world title in there, but I don't know if I see Swerve Strickland winning it at all. I see him, I think, still losing and possibly going on to the AEW world champ.
I got a feeling that we're somehow, some way going to get Eddie Kingston to win this sucker.
Yeah, I think his comeback started this.
I would be happy about that, but if we could go back to the beginning of this tournament, I would make sure I would at least give Mark Briscoe 3 points, maybe 4 points, and make this a little bit more closer. Not like, oh, hey, look, here's Mark Briscoe. Here's another pin. What are we doing with Mark Briscoe this week? Oh, he's listening to this guy.
Yeah, it is kind of surprising. We've had already 3 eliminations, essentially.
I mean, like, him and Jay Lethal ended this tournament with 0 points. I mean, they still got 2 matches left. So theoretically, they can win a match and get points. But it's kind of like, whose line is it anyway? It's where the points don't matter.
Good show.
Okay, so that ends the standings and questions before me and Ashley decide to not watch Ring of Honor. So let's go ahead over to one of our favorite segments of the week. It's our top 5 matches of the week.
It's Sean and Ashley's top 5 matches of the week. As they count down their 5 favorite matches from the past week, did your favorite match make the cut?
Ashley, do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
I tried not to make it all the tournament this time.
Okay. Our rant about Mark Briscoe standing aside, the tournament has been one of the best things on AEW TV.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The in-ring work for this tournament has been insane. So I wanted to just shout out the Rush and Mox match. It's great. Strickland and Briscoe was phenomenal. Copeland and Cage, I thought was really good. I know it didn't really seem to bring in the ratings, but it was a fun match nonetheless. And on Ring of Honor this week, Dalton Castle took on Johnny TV, and Kyle Fletcher took on Gravity in the main event, which was a short but fun match. But my number 5 to kick off my list, put it at 5 because I wanted to have some of these other matches on here shine a bit. and I put him on here twice. But Danielson and Andrade from Collision.
Oh, that match was so freaking amazing.
So
what made it so great was the fact that Andrade finally did what a proper heel should do. Hey, the guy's wearing this eye patch. Let me focus on the eye. Let me just pound at it. Let me just put my thumb in his eye.
Yeah.
And the fact that Nigel McGuinness has clearly stated that he has a beef with one Daniel Bryanson at the end of this match. He is begging Roosh. He's begging Andrade to pin the guy. He feels bad for Danielson that he was.
Nigel McGuinness is killing it on commentary.
And this what makes this match so great is like the fact that any other time Nigel will be like cheering on Andrade, like, please, again, please, again. But no, it's just the fact that Nigel has this beef with the American Dragon, but it's so violent to a point that even Nigel McGuinness has to come onto the babyface spot side and say, no more, no moss.
Yeah, no, great. And I would say like a surprise victory for Andrade, but he looked phenomenal. He's looked great in this tournament. And like rumor is like his deal is either up already or is closely coming up with AEW. I don't know where that leaves him, but he's looked great.
Yeah, I heard the same rumors, and there's a chance he may go to CMLL, but that would only be the case if he doesn't go back to the WWE, and he kind of knows that if he goes to the WWE, he wouldn't be able to do his Mexico dates. So we'll just have to wait and see where Andrade falls in 2024, but I can see Triple H going like, hey, Andrade, I'm in control over here. You want to come back?
Yeah, especially with the showing he's had the past few weeks.
Okay, so my number five match of the week, I'm going Monday Night Raw. I'm going to the main event. It's Jey Uso versus Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. It's a fine match. And Jey Uso gets oh so close to being Seth Rollins, but he makes one tiny mistake. Curb stomp. Seth Rollins, still your champion. And after the match, Jey Uso gets blasted into next week by Drew McIntyre as he kind of completes the heel turn. But like any good heel, Drew McIntyre is a babyface of his own story. He's just out there trying to advance the wrongs that he sees in the world through his eyes. But it was a great match.
Awesome. Jey Uso has been killing it. I desperately want them to put like a singles title on him.
Okay, so what is your number four match of the week?
All right, so number four, I love the ladies match on Collision this week. Willow Nightingale and Mercedes Martinez kind of have this this rivalry going since Ring of Honor last year. They've carried it over into AEW, and now we're getting to see kind of like the likes of like Diamante a little more on TV. And I thought they had a very good, hard-hitting, pretty brutal match.
Yes, it was a great match on Collision. And I just love the fact that it seems like these two ladies, anytime you put them into the ring, they can't have a bad match.
No, I Willow is so good. I want to see her get like the proper push that she deserves this year.
I feel like both of these ladies deserve a larger role in AEW in 2024. It just depends on if Tony Khan and whoever else makes the decisions in AEW wants to put the effort into making a women's division for their company.
Exactly. And it sort of seems like we may be going towards a, feels like a kind of like a yearly tradition of the year-end women's no-hold-barred tag team match, you know, hardcore tag team.
I know. You got to keep those traditions going, I guess. So my number four match of the week comes from AEW Dynamite. I'm going to the main event. It's Adam Copeland versus Christian Cage. The match is great. It tells a lot of stories up to the moment Christian Cage decides to play field goal kicker and basically punts the ref right between the legs, knocks him out of commission, and Nick Wayne's mom comes down. And it's like the most telegraphed title shot you ever seen in your life. And I'm going like, yeah, Nick Wayne's mom doesn't got it going on when it comes to being a heel.
Yeah, I guess I'm only interested to see if she only did it for her son or if like Christian's kind of gotten to her too.
You know, I've been debating about this for the last 3 days, and I heard different theories about this. Like, I feel like she decided that what Adam Copeland did to her son was worse than everything Christian Cage did up to that point. So she picked the lesser of two evils.
I mean, Copeland has speared her son every conceivable chance he's had.
And there's that one time he decided to do the Chichero while she was watching. So I can see she's justified in her action. I just thought it brought the match down. It was so good. And it was kind of like, why this? Couldn't we just have a clean finish or have Christian cheat so we could put this down a little bit more and have a story go on here?
Yeah, I get it.
So, Ashley, what's your number three match of the week?
All right. So number three was a match that I saw a lot of complaining about, but I don't get why. Ethan Page taking on Kenny Omega on Collision. A really random match that kind of came out of the blue, but Ethan Page has been putting in a lot of work and it has shown. He looks phenomenal. And I thought the match was great. And it was a nice, like kind of showing for Ethan Page.
You know, that was a good match. It gave a lot of stuff to Ethan Page. And Ethan Page has been one of these talents that has been underserved in his time in AEW. Think about his tag team partner. We haven't seen.
Not in months now. He made like a slight comeback and then disappeared off TV again. And I know Ethan Page has been in Ring of Honor the past couple of months, but it's nice to see him get out there and get on TV and kind of like show people like what he's capable of, because he's had some really good feuds and matches since he's come into AEW, and I feel like he's just very overlooked.
Yeah, I feel like this match hopefully made up for like the last 6 months of, oh, hey, we have Ethan Page. We have him in red-like factions. He occasionally does jobs for people, but we don't have a good storyline for one Eagle Ethan Page. So, oh, I know what we could do. We're in Montreal. We're in Canada. Let's have a match between him and Kenny Omega. Sure, why not?
I mean, I'll take it, but I mean, I would love to see him, you know, get a little bit more of a spotlight.
Me too. We'll just have to see what happens to one All Eagle Ethan Page in 2024. Okay, so I'm up to my number three match of the week. I'm going to go to NXT Deadline. I'm going to a match that I already talked about at the beginning of the show. Carmella Hayes versus Alexis King. Now, I may be a Brian Pillman Jr. homer. I'll admit it freely. But once again, this match and everything that NXT has done for one Brian Pillman Jr. has been 100 times more impactful than anything Tony Khan and AEW did with Brian Pillman Jr. and the 2.5 to 3 years they had him under contract.
Yeah, he's getting a lot more guidance in NXT, that's for sure. AEW was kind of just like, you're here, do your thing, but not really guiding him on like what.
And maybe all he needed was a little bit of structure, and he's in the right place now, and I'm just happy he's succeeding. So, Ashley, what is your number two match of the week?
I don't know which one to put at two and which one to put at one. I love them both so much. All right, I'll put this one at two. It's one of my favorite feuds in wrestling. Eddie Kingston, Claudio Castagnoli, kicking off Collision, coming right from the promos into the match, just beating the hell out of each other, the ending mirroring the last match they had, and Eddie Kingston getting one over longtime rival and most hated rival, Claudio Castagnoli.
You know what? I'm going to piggyback off of here. This is my number two match of the week. Just the simple fact that once Eddie Kingston's music kicked in, he didn't walk to the ring. He ran to the ring. He was ready for this match. And both these guys gave two beeps about each other. And just the simple fact that the look on Claudio's face when Eddie Kingston got the victory, it doesn't matter if Claudio wins this tournament, he's going to be pissed off that he lost a match to Eddie Kingston.
Exactly. And I feel like Claudio's kind of the most like heelish member already of the BCC, so I'd love to see this kind of like push him a little further.
I got a feeling that it may, and I feel like maybe down the road that we're talking about maybe Eddie Kingston winning this whole tournament, I got a feeling maybe Claudio might risk getting fired or suspended just to cost Eddie Kingston a match.
I could watch those two fight forever. Honestly, just one of the most believable feuds ever.
Okay, so what is your number one match of the week?
All right, so number one, I think this may be the first time Rampage gave me my match of the week. Bryan Danielson and Daniel Garcia, I think this is four. They don't have bad matches. This, like, mentoree, like, sort of, you know, relationship they have, it's fantastic. And Daniel Garcia building towards something with all of these promos, again, like, kind of having, like, another really nice little one after this match. Bryan Danielson's post-match promo after this was insane. I love their chemistry together.
I do too. I feel like this has been a great feud for Daniel Garcia to get into. And you remember when we were thinking that maybe Daniel Garcia might be a member of the Blackpool Combat Club, and we were so taped off that, no, they took Weird Yuta and they gave Daniel Garcia to a Jericho Appreciation Society. Now, Jericho did a lot of work to mold Daniel Garcia into a more polished entertainer. He's a good professional wrestler, but you can see the influence of Chris Jericho in Daniel Garcia.
Yeah, and it seems like now he's trying to, like, willingly kind of strip it away to get back to what he was doing. And Bryan Danielson's promo about how if Garcia had joined the BCC when they had made the offer, he would have treated him like a son, and now he can't stand him, and that's why he spit on him during the match. It was insane, and I kind of want them to have another match down the road, maybe, you know, where if this is Danielson's last year, you know, give Garcia that big win, because this feud has just been phenomenal with these two.
True. So I'm going to do my number one match of the week. It's coming from Collision. Collision probably was the show of the week. And I'm going to the tag team match. Kuhan Angelo, Daddy Magic, in their hometown of Montreal, Canada, facing off against Commander and Penta. Just seeing the crowd reaction to Daddy Magic and Kuhan Angelo walking down to the ring, they were the biggest baby faces on that night. And the fact that Penta and Commander still weren't baby faced, but they knew they had indeed a little hillish tint to their work, made this match very entertaining. And you know what? Let's go ahead and have 2024 give the AEW tag team titles over to Daddy Magic and Kuhan Angelo. They need these titles at some point in 2024. So this match was freaking awesome.
Yeah, and another team that's been there, they've been underrated and a little underutilized. I'd love to see them get a bigger push. This one was a great match. And crowd reactions, I think some people like underestimate how much they add to the atmosphere in the match, but... And, like, I was so into this match for the same reason. The crowd going nuts, chanting Daddy Magic. Dude, they were killing it. I agree. Put the tag titles on them. They could definitely do a lot for some younger tag team.
You know, you could literally have this tag team match be the main event of Collision, and I don't think anybody would bat an eye at it.
No, especially not with the reactions. Like you said, the biggest baby faces of the night.
Well, that has been your top five matches of the week here on Ray of Free Professional Wrestling. One final segment to go. We're going to preview ROH final battle as we get ready to see, hopefully, one of the better offerings from Ring of Honor this year. Now, Ashley, we have five matches on this card at time of recording, and there's nowhere else we're going to go first, but it's for the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship, as this is the promotion built by Athena, and she's facing off against her former protege, you would say, and Billy Starks. If you haven't watched Ring of Honor TV lately, they had a segment, I want to say a week and a half ago, where Athena came down with Alessia Nair and Billy Starks, and she had a graduation ceremony. Medical scholar, MIT, little college that Athena has been going with, was Alessia Nair, and it made Billy Starks snap. And she threw Athena into the guardrail, busting her nose. And now we have a world title match.
Yeah, Athena seemingly with a legit broken nose, too. So I'm hoping, you know, like, obviously that she recovers quickly. I'm hoping that she's good during the match. Kind of like, you know, the cracks were already there, so we knew it wouldn't last. But kind of surprised to see kind of like the double turn.
You know, it's been interesting to watch this subtle heel turn with Billy Starks. Is it really a heel turn, or is it just the influence of one Athena on her, for one? And I feel like it may be more the influence of Athena on Billy Starks. And it finally drove her to a point where after she didn't get the approval of Athena for cheating in the match and Alessia Nair becoming the graduate of MIT, she finally went to Tony and went, hey, I want to prove to Athena that I am as good as she is. So I don't know if you take the title off of Athena, because I feel like she basically is this promotion right now. She is the best thing in Ring of Honor. And this is just the first and maybe a few matches we have between the two ladies. So give me Athena to retain by some interference from Alessia Nair.
I agree. I could see Lexi Nair definitely getting involved. She's been kind of crucial to everything going on. Maybe not the heel. Athena kind of created this monster. You know, it's just coming back to haunt her. But I could definitely see like maybe a full fledged like double turn type of thing happening at the pay-per-view. And I'd be definitely down to see like Athena carry this title now as a babyface and kind of get her cheers as the champion that she deserved.
It'll be an interesting 2024 if we went down that road, maybe. So let's go ahead and talk about the next match that we can see on the card. It's the Ring of Honor Television Championship. It's the Survival of the Fittest match, as we have Dalton Castle, Cabana, Kyle Fletcher, Lee Moriarty, Lee Johnson, and someone to be determined. So there's one person we don't know about this match, but who's going to leave with the Ring of Honor TV title, Ashley?
Well, I tend to think they don't leave a blank space there for nothing, so I assume it'll probably be whoever is added in, which maybe he could be Mark Briscoe, kind of already being eliminated out of the Continental Classic. I could see it being him, but I would love to see Dalton Castle win it.
I'm going to double down here with you. I would love to see Dalton Castle added ROH TV title. Dalton Castle is just a gift to professional wrestling, and if you haven't seen enough of Ring of Honor, you need to go check out Dalton Castle because he has some of the best freaking matches. And I got a feeling that if they're going to put this title on somebody, he would be that. But my dark horse might be Kyle Fletcher.
Yeah, he seems to be getting a strong push in Ring of Honor too, in this new attitude with being with the Callis family. I wouldn't be upset. I'm pulling for Dalton, but I won't be mad if Kyle Fletcher wins.
Okay, so I don't think Mark Briscoe will be in the TV title match because he's going to be teaming up with FTR as we get a match with FTR and Mark Briscoe versus Brian Danielson, John Moxley, and Claudio Castagnoli. This better be the semi-main event because Athena should be the main event of this final battle.
Truly, this is kind of a very cool tribute match for Jay Briscoe.
And since it's a tribute match, I got a feeling the babyfaces are going to win this match, but it's going to be one hell of a match.
I hope Yuta eats a big fat pin.
Well, actually, you know what? He's not in this match. He can't take the pin.
Oh, who's it? It's Castagnoli, Danielson, and
John Moxley.
Oh, that's even crazier. Let's go. That's going to be a great match. FTR back in Ring of Honor, teaming up with like kind of like their longtime rival to take on these guys who have like, you know, like Danielson has such strong connections to Ring of Honor and stuff. It's going to be great.
It is. It's probably going to be a match of the night for a lot of reasons. It's going to be like all diehard Ring of Honor fans match of the night. This is for FBAT that we're honoring one Jay Briscoe, and more power to him to have this match.
Yeah, it's going to be emotional for sure.
Okay, so we're getting Keith Lee versus Shane Taylor. If you haven't seen Keith Lee versus Shane Taylor, do yourself a favor after this podcast. Go to YouTube, type up their names in, and just sit back because these guys have won hell of a feud a long time ago in Ring of Honor. And if they can rekindle this in AEW versus Ring of Honor, it's going to be freaking amazing.
I kind of like this because Shane Taylor, the way he, when he's talking, he makes it seem like the feud never stopped. You know, like the feud has always been in his mind, like still standing. And like Keith Lee kind of was just like, oh, why are you mad, guy? You know, like it doesn't make any sense. And like to him, he's just felt betrayed this whole time. So like, I love like the longstanding history and the callbacks they can have for this feud.
Exactly, because in Shane Taylor's mind, Keith Lee left him in Ring of Honor to go to Greener Pastures in WWE, and he kind of forgot about Shane Taylor. And now Shane Taylor's in AEW to remind him, oh, I'm Shane Taylor, and I'm better than you.
Stealing catchphrases over here.
Yeah, I'll be paying out some money to different people to because I'm stealing everybody's catchphrases. Well, we got one final match we can talk about. It's an I Quit match. It's Ethan Page versus Tony Nese in an I Quit match.
Yeah, they've been having this feud going for a couple of weeks now on Ring of Honor. I assume maybe this is, I don't know if this is how you're going to get Ethan Page back to AEW.
I don't know, Ashley, but I get a feeling that after we saw Ethan Page get so close to defeating Kenny Omega, he can't lose this I Quit match to Tony Nese.
It's kind of weird, a weird position to have to go against who some consider like maybe the best wrestler today. And then to kind of go back to Ring of Honor to have this match with Tony Nese. And like, it's no slight against Tony Nese. I don't think he's a slouch by any means. I think he's great. I think he's funny. I think his character is funny. But just a weird way of going. I mean, I could see maybe like some cheating going on, like Sterling getting involved or something like that to cost Ethan Page. But like you said, very strange to kind of have him go up against Kenny Omega and then kind of have this I Quit match coming right up after.
True. Is this the question? Is Ring of Honor canon in AEW, or do they exist parallel to each other and we shouldn't think about matches? So if Ethan Page is at AEW, it's AEW versus Ethan Page. But if he's in Ring of Honor, it's Ring of Honor versus Ethan Page. It's got red pill, blue pill.
Honestly, that's a great question. And that's something, in my opinion, that AEW or Tony Khan, I should say, needs to do a better job of. I think it sucks a lot to see that the ticket sales weren't that great for the show. Because like you said, like we just went through that. And like, especially the two, like I would say, like main event and co-main event matches are phenomenal. Those are great matches to be able to see live. And the ticket sales aren't great for this show. But I think it's because so much is in flux with Ring of Honor right now. You have so much like crossover with AEW that like it's sort of touched on, it's sort of not. You don't have any of like, you don't have a world champion essentially at the moment. Like you have Eddie Kingston as a champion, but he's occupied in AEW with this tournament. You have no TV champion right now. You have this tournament going for it, or the, you know, like the, they had like the qualifying matches, and even your tag team titles are not featured on Ring of Honor. I think all of that stuff is, it's pretty easy to fix, and it's they're greatly hurting them by nothing.
It's probably going to be the biggest question in 2024 is what Tony Khan does with Ring of Honor. Because, like you said, this is the first final battle I can remember where you don't have a Ring of Honor world title match, and you don't have a Ring of Honor world tag team title match. And it's kind of crazy to think this is the marquee event for Ring of Honor, and you don't have the two top titles defended.
Exactly. And it's definitely reflecting on, like, I think how the tickets are moving and kind of like I said, it sucks because there are great matches on this card, but you have like essentially like three divisions you're neglecting that are crucial to this, you know, this promotion.
True. And I feel like maybe this is the reason they're giving Final Battle to all of us when our club members right now, because maybe they feel like they could charge full pay-per-view prize for not having a world title match, but in a world tag team title match. That might be the case.
Possibly. I could definitely see that being like a factor in it.
Well, that has been your ROH Final Battle preview here on Ray of Reed Professional Wrestling. Ashley, before we go, where can we find you on the information superhighway?
I'm on Twitter. It's @groovy_ash_.
And you can always follow the show on Twitter, Instagram, @RadioFreePW. If you need to catch up on our previous episode, go over to www.radiofreepw. And if you want to come over to Facebook, look up Radio Free Professional Wrestling in the Facebook groups. We are discussing the Winston Awards 2023. We're trying to decide the best and worst in wrestling in 2023. We will be recording this show coming up this Saturday. And I can't wait to have Ashley and David together as we debate who are like the best male wrestler, who's the best female wrestler, who's the worst female wrestler. I got a kind of idea that me and David probably agree on who the worst is. We'll have to wait and see. Other thing, do me a favor, go over to Christina's Instagram account. I'm gonna have a link in the show notes. Cool thing, she landed a gig with BBC doing a song for the Doctor Who Christmas special coming up later in December, and it's on her Facebook page right now, her Instagram account, and I've listened to it, and I had this song stuck in my head all day long. It's so freaking good. So
that's awesome. Congratulations.
Exactly. Congratulations to Christina. It's well deserved. She worked her butt off. And when I saw this post this morning, I just had to go out and retweet it as fast as I could because I was, wow, I'm a big Doctor Who fan. And now I got an even bigger reason to watch this Christmas special coming up.
That's awesome.
So with all that being said, remember, this is our groovy and stunning era. Guns freaking up.
Guns up.
Christina here. On behalf of the guys, thanks for listening. Like the show? Do us a favor and share it with a friend. Have a stunning question? Email it to the show at radiofreeprowrestling@gmail.com. Until next time, this has been Radio Free Pro Wrestling. Stay stunningly.